Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Samach Dalid. We're starting on the last line of Samach Gimel Amid Beis. We're in the middle of the line. The Gemara quotes from a pasuk, very famous pasuk, Tanur Rabbanan. Uvnucho Yoimar, when the Oren would go and rest, they would say, Shuvah Hashem Rivavois Alfa Yisrael. Hashem, return and settle and stay with the Rivavois. Rivavois are tens of thousands. A Rivava is 10,000. Rivavois is 2 times 10,000, which is 20,000. Alfa Yisrael and Elif is 1,000. Alfei is 2,000. So together we have 22,000. Malamed says the Gemara at the top, She'en Hashchina Shoira al Pochois Mishnei Alofim Ushnei Rivavois Mi Yisrael. That the Shechina is Shoira when you have 22,000 people.
What's Shoira?
Shoira means that the Shechina is settled and hovers over and is part and parcel of Klal Yisrael when we have 22,000. Now mind you, the Mishnah in Perkei Avos says that if you have a minion, you have Shechina. And the Gemara says elsewhere that if you have three who are being paskening a din Torah, that Elikim Nitzav Badas Keil, that you have Shechina. And even if two people learning together in the Besmedesh, the Shechina is Shaira, etc. And the answer to all of that is that there are different madregas of intensity of the Shechina. So when you have 22,000 together, then there's a very, very special aura and a special hovering and a special settling of the Shechina by Klal Yisrael. When you have 22,000. What happens if one of the 22,000 Nebuch has passed away? So we're down to 21,999. And a particular individual who is a member of Klal Yisrael, who has a mitzvah of Piri V'Rivya, has decided, by his inactivity, by not going and procreating and bringing new doyrus to this world, so now we're stuck with 21,999, and therefore he has been a goyrim, he's been almost a cause that the Shechina should no longer be hovering and be settling among Klal Yisrael.
Is there a punishment for a person who does not?
No, there's no punishment. What the Mishnah Gemara is trying to do is emphasize in very, very graphic terms, very strong terms, the union of Piri V'Rivya is not just a mitzvah law, that's a major mitzvah, because if you mekayim the mitzvah properly and you have Baruch Hashem children, then you can bring the Shechina to be Shoira by Klal Yisrael. And similarly, the Gemara says now, even if you will, a little bit more, with emphasis, Abachanan Omar Mishum Reb Lezer Chayim Misa. If a person doesn't want to go and be Oisik Per Virivi Chas Yichas Rishon, it's Chayim Misa. She never said the Pasik. Uvonim Le Hoyu Lehem. This is referring to Nadav Adiyu, that unfortunately they passed away, and they left no children. Why does the Torah tell us that? Comes to tell you, how you lambanim loymesu, that if they would have had children, they would not have died; they would have still been alive. The question is, but didn't they go and weren't they over the isurim? Number one, the Torah says that they brought makrivim eish zora, that they brought their own fire to the mizbeach, which was not permitted. As well as others say that the reason is because the moir halacha b'fnei rabbi, they should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu and not take things into their own hands. And the Chazal give a number of reasons why Nadav Avihu passed away. So here from our Gemara's Mashma, that if they would have had Bonim Le'Mesu, I mean, what is one thing after the other? So the Chasam Sofer writes that even that the reason why Nadav Avihu passed away is, Rashi brings in Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu said, it says in the Pasuk, B'Kroivai Ekodesh, Kodesh Baruch Hu's name is going to be sanctified among my Kroivim, said Moshe, I thought it was going to be you, Aharon, and me. I didn't realize that Nadav Avihu on such a high madrega that the Krovei Kodesh, the Kiddush Hashem, is going to be through them. Says Chasam Sofer, we see from that that they reached the highest madrega that they could have reached in their spiritual ascension here in this world. And so therefore, once they reached that high pinnacle, that high level, there was no longer a need for them to continue their mass and their activities in this world. However, what the Pasuk is telling us is that had they had children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have kept them here to go and tend to the children. Somebody's got to go and take care of the kinderlich, that they shouldn't be Yisaimim. So therefore, because of the fact that unfortunately they had no children, and they had already attained their level of Rochnius that they accomplished their mission in terms of Ruchnias. So therefore, that's the reason why because of some with Hashem, as they got closer and closer to Hashem, but Yemusu, they passed away because they didn't need to do anything further in the own spiritual level, but they would have stuck around. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have caused them to stick around to take care of kids, but they had no kids to take care of. Others say, similar to the first drasha by the Benucha Yoimar, the Goyim Mitzchinah should salt in Yisrael. How do I know? Shneimet says the pasuk, "Bius lechol lelikim ulezaracha acharecha." Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be for our God and for our future generations, our future children. Bisman shezaracha acharecha shchinah shoyre. When will we have lios lechol lelikim? The Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with us when we have zaracha acharecha. But ain't zaracha acharecha if there are no kindalach. Al Nishoira, on who is the Kadosh Baruch Hu going to come to settle here in this world? Al Eitzim Al Avonim, on sticks and stones and things of that nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Shoira by Klal Yisrael. If there's no Klal Yisrael, there's nowhere to be Shoira. So therefore, everybody has to do their little piece to contribute towards Periphirivia, so that we'll have Yidden, so that there'll be a nation that Kadosh Baruch Hu will feel proud of, that he'll be Shoira Shechina on this world.
So is a person Chayiv Misa if they don't?
Literally, it's in the Gemara in the fifth line that he's Chayim Misa. It doesn't mean that if the person did not get married and didn't have children, that the Bezin is going to give him one of the Arba Misa's Bezin. What it means is that spiritually, he deserves to get Misa because of the fact that he didn't contribute towards Perbirivi on this world. It doesn't mean that he will be executed at the stake, that they'll throw stones at him, or that he will be taken to the guillotine. Zog the Mishnah. We're continuing on in the great Indian of Periphirivia, Nasa Isha Vishoa Ima Esther Shah. A person married a lady. And for 10 years they lived together, and unfortunately, Volo Yolda, and she did not have any children. He has no right to go and say, okay, listen, I tried. What am I supposed to do? So what is he supposed to do? Says the Tav Rashi. He has two options. Or Yigrishana, he should go and divorce her. And of course marry a second lady. Oh, Yisachar Zima. In the times of before Rabbeinu Gershom, you were allowed to have multiple wives, so if he doesn't want to divorce his wife, fine, hold on to her, but get a second wife. The Mirch Hashem, hopefully you'll Ibana Mimena, you'll have a child from the second wife. So to Mishnah Baita, Girsha, what happens if he gave her a get because of this requirement that Periphirivia, he sent her away, and presumably he married a second lady. She is allowed to go and marry someone else. In other words, we shouldn't say, how could she, obviously she shouldn't have children, she seems to be sterile, she seems to be barren, don't allow her to marry anybody else. No, no, no. It very often has nothing to do with her. It might have something to do with him. It may also be a matter of mazel, as we'll see in the Gemara. And so therefore, everybody's mazel is different. And we see even today that there are couples that live together for 10 years, they divorce, and then he marries somebody else, and she marries somebody else, and they both have children. So you see that it's not just simply the physicality, very often has to do with other issues as well. Anyway, but getting back to the Mishnah, therefore Girsha, even if he gave her a get, if and when he gave her a get, she's allowed to marry someone else, and I'm not concerned about the fact that that second husband may not have children with her. The Gemara is going to be medayik, that since the Mishnah doesn't repeat this yet a third time, it just said that she got divorced and she married the second time, that what happens if in fact after 10 years she doesn't have a child with the second husband? The Gemara is going to be medayik. If that's the case, then she should not marry a third husband, unless that husband already has children from a previous marriage. Mechem will see that on the Amid Beis, and therefore we're going to get into the question of how many times forms a chazaka. Is it after two times, after three times? We'll see that Mech Hashem on the Amid Beis. Urishoi hasheni lishois ima yudshani. And as we just said about the first husband, that the second husband can also stick it out with her for 10 years, and if after 10 years it still didn't work, he didn't have any children, then he has to do the same thing. Either give her a get, and or marry another lady, so that he will have a Mechem Periverivia. The Mepila, what happens if by either the first husband or the second husband, she had a nafel, she didn't have a full-term pregnancy, but she became pregnant, and Nebuch, unfortunately, the fetus, Nebuch, there was a miscarriage. Moina Mishoa Shepila, then she gets, if you will, an extension. In other words, we don't start the 10 years from the time of marriage, the 10 years will start from the time of the nafel. And if she has a nafel 5 years later, then we'll continue another again the 10 years from that time.
That applies to both wives, first and second.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly. So Kimar, Tana Rabban, Nasa Isha B'Shal Ima Eser Shana V'Lo Yolda. If a person married a wife, 10 years went by, they didn't have a child. Yoitzi V'Yitin Ksuba. He should go and send her away and give her a ksuba. Shema Lo Yizocha L'Hibonos Mimena. Maybe he wasn't zoicha to go and have a binyan, in other words, to have future progeny, children from her. Now, what does the Gemara mean to say with this? Shema Lo Yizocha L'Hibonos Mimena. As we'll see in the Gemara a little bit later, what the Braisa is telling us is, if we knew for a fact that the reason why they're not having children is because of her, that he wouldn't have to give her ksuba, because the whole kiddushin would have been a mekach tois. Nobody, normal people don't want to get married to barren or to sterile women. However, maybe the reason has nothing to do with her. Very possibly it has something to do with him. Maybe he physically has a problem. So therefore, yoitzi, not only does he give a gift, but he has to pay the ksuba, because maybe it's not her fault, it's his fault. And therefore, he has to pay. Now, although it doesn't say anywhere expressly in the Torah about this 10-year limit, we have a shtickel zecher, meaning a little support from the story of Avram Avinu. What does it say by Avram Avinu? The Miketz Esher Shonam Lashemes Avram Be'eretz Kenoan. Our Gemara doesn't bring the whole Pasuk, but the whole Pasuk says that after 10 years, Avram Avinu, who had been living until now with Sarah Imenu, and unfortunately they didn't have a child, Avram Avinu went now and he took Hagar for a wife. What's the reason why the Pasuk has to tell you when Miketz Esher Shonam, and what would have happened if it would be after 3 years, or 6 years, or 12 years, what's up to 10 years? That's the Zeich L'Dover, that he waited 10 years, he didn't have a child with Sarah, and therefore he went and married Hagar. But notice it doesn't say 10 years after the marriage. It's 10 years after they lived in Eretz Kanaan. That he may have lived with Sarah Imenu 30 years previously, 50 years previously in Chutz L'Aretz, and now he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He only started counting the 10 years after they reached Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, says Imar, therefore, cholahu, if he was sick, or she was sick, or either or both of them never were in jail, and therefore they didn't have an opportunity for intimacy. None of those years are counted because there are other reasons why they didn't have a child. So therefore you cannot count those towards the 10 years. Now, although our Gemara tells us that because of living in Chutz Laaretz, that is not oil loim and haminyan, the Mefarshim say that it doesn't mean the Rosh and other Rishonim bring a daya that based on our Gemara, this whole halacha of 10 years only applies in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz Laaretz, because that's what it sounds like. However, all the Rishonim reject that view, and they say that this halach of the 10 years applies in Chutz Laaretz as well. Rashi says that perhaps there was some sort of ovoin Chutz Laaretz. If you look at Rashi, Miketz Es Hashanim, all the way at the top, the third line from the top of the Yomim, Miketz Es Hashanim. Bo al Hagar, after 10 years he married Hagar. V'hai delay nosav lo, v'hanach shoni kadmoi. The reason why he didn't marry her until now, actually, Bola Eretz Kanaan, Shahuyu Shonim Merubais Bepanaram, they were for many years in Panaram. Lamedcha comes to teach you, She'ein Yeshivas Chutzlaritz Oiluloi, that the Yeshivas Chutzlaritz was not Oiluloi Menaminion for Avram Avinu, Dilma Mishim Avoin Chutzlaritz Heim Akurim. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that Avram and Sarah should have moved to Eretz Yisrael earlier than they did, and therefore there was some sort of spiritual sin that Avram Avinu wasn't oiler earlier, and because of that they were akurim. Akurim means that they were both sterile or barren and didn't have any children.
But then he responds.
Just said, look at next Rashi. Lefichach, and therefore, ha'ilvekachazinan she'ein yeshivas chutz laaretz ben minyan, the talinan mecholdavar hamoinan min harayin. So you see that you can point your finger and say that the reason why they didn't have children is maybe because of extraneous reasons, like the Ovayn Yeshivas Chutz Laaretz, and therefore, Cholahu, You have other extraneous reasons, like for instance, he was not well, or chotzehi, she was not well, somebody never was in jail, they weren't together, the person was away in Dina Sayyam for a number of years. All of that would not be counted towards the 10 years. Yes, what would you like to say?
Avram Avinu moves Eretz Yisrael at the instigation of Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha. So it's not that he could have moved earlier. He moved when he was told. As soon as he's told to go, he goes. So your thought that he could have moved earlier doesn't seem to agree with the pasuk.
Okay, so what is the Ovo in Chutz Laretz that Rashi is referring to?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Okay.
She'ini Shivas Chutz Laretz Minyan. If you would just tell us that normally Shivas Chutz Laretz is not Minyan, then fine, it's settled. But the Rishonim bring that Deya and they reject it. So Rashi says something about that Dilmishim Avoin Chutz Laretz Makurim. I'm not aware that Avraham Avinu had any particular chait. It sounds like Avoin Chutz Laretz. Chutz Laretz itself was the Avoin. Not that he engaged in Averis and Chutz Laretz, but the Yeshivas Chutz Laretz was an Avoin.
Okay.
Your point is well taken. That Kadosh Baruch Hu told him when to go and he went. Maybe he could have gone a little bit quicker. I don't know. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, and that's why you have the 10-year rule. Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, V'leilef Me'yitzchak. Once you're learning from the Avos Kedoshim, and you're agreeing that it's not that this is a real makar, it's just a zeichel davar. So I have even a better zeichel davar. I can learn from Yitzchak to say, V'yitzchak ben Arboim Shana B'kachti Yisrivka. He was 40 years old. V'ksiv Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana B'leves Oysam. He only had the two children, Yaakov and Esav, 20 years later. So how did he stick it out for 20 years? It's a chassimun that you're allowed to stick it out for 20 years. So maybe it should be a 20-year rule and not a 10-year rule. Amalei, so he told him, Yitzchak, Okur Hoya. Yitzchak, unfortunately, was an Okur. In other words, that v'derech hateva, he should not have been able to have children. Okur means that he was sterile or barren physically, that he could not have children. That's the reason why we had to wait 20 years. How did he eventually have a children? B'derech Nes, because he was mispal to Hashem, as the Pasuk tells us, and as the Gemara will bring shortly. So, Frank Timura, if you're telling me you can't bring a raya from Yitzchak, because he was an okur meyikara, he was born as a barren individual, not able to have children. Yehoche Avram Nami okur hoya. Avram Avinu was also okur, as the Gemara is going to tell us in another few lines, that the Avos HaKadoshim were all akurim, so that they should all be mispal to Hashem, so Hashem should listen to their tefillahs. So if you're telling me I can't learn from Yitzchak because he was an Akur, I can't learn from Avram because he was an Akur. Ravi, would you like to say something?
Yeah, how come Yitzchak was allowed to marry Rivka if he was an Akur? I mean, if he married Rivka, Rivka couldn't have children, and he was, because that Rivka could not have children.
Okay, that's a very good point. The Gemara elsewhere tells us, and we're going to have it here in the Gemara as well, almost parenthetically, that the mitzvah peri v'rivi is only on the male and not on the female. Women do not have a chiv of peri v'rivi. Men do have a chiv. So there was no problem in Rivka marrying Yitzchak, because if she doesn't have children, she doesn't have children. There's no chiv about it, a mitzvah means on her, right. There's no chiv on her, so that wouldn't be a problem.
Mendy has a very nice explanation why that's...
Yes, Mendy. Mendy would like to say something.
Men are chiv, not women.
Yes, that's here.
Originally, Adam was in civil with Kava. Anoch, only Noch Banov. So, Shachar explains that...
Meshachachma.
Torah is pleasant.
Right.
Since in between, Chet, Eitz Hadas resulted, there'll be tzar later, Chava. Hashem will not impose a mitzvah on Chava, which causes pain.
Oh, beautiful. So Rabbi, I don't know if you heard what Mendy just said. Mendy quoted a Meshach Chachma, that the reason why women do not have a Chiv is because since, as a result of the Eitz Hadas, the Etzev Tel Divonim, that women are going to have labor pains and pregnancy pains and all that, as we are aware. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to give them a chiv that would automatically cause them pain and anguish, because drachea darchinoy. Shkoyach Mendy.
I've also heard because it's sakana.
Many years ago,
it's just a pain.
It's a sakana, but all women, you know, well, I wouldn't say all, but 99%.
Because they don't have to put themselves in a makom sakana.
Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't mechayiv them. Okay, very good. Beautiful. Shkoyach. So getting back to our Gemara, Yitzchak Okur, and therefore that's why, in a sense, Yitzchak doesn't count. If it doesn't count, Avram was also Okur, he shouldn't count. Tomorrow, ahu mi boyle likud Reb Chiya bar Abba. The Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Yochanan. So what Rashi says is that the truth of the matter is, you're right, both Avram and Yitzchak were Akurim. The reason why by Yitzchak it specifies that he was 40 when he got married and 60 when he had children is not because we want to teach us the rule of how many years you can stay with your wife when the couple are childless. The reason why is because, as you know, there's a famous long Rashi at the end of Parshas Toldos that goes into great detail in explaining all the years, particularly those years that Yaakov, when he left the home of Yitzchak and Rivka, how he accounted for all those years afterwards when he went to Lavan, and after that when Yosef was sold, and then Yaakovino arrived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rashi goes through the whole Cheshbon. It's based on the Gemara Maseches Megillah. And L'choira, you'll find that there are 14 years which are missing in the whole Cheshbon. Until Chazal tell us, what's those 14 years? Those 14 years, Yaakovina was in the yeshivas of Shem Ve'ever, and those 14 years, there was no taina on him for not being Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Ve'Em, because of the fact that he was immersed in Torah during those 14 years. So that's the reason why the Torah tells us about this 40 and 60 by Yitzchak. But in truth, the Cheshbon is that's the reason why we need the Torah to specify it. The reason why Torah specified the Esther Shonim by Hagar and Avraham Avinu is to tell you the 10-year rule of our Mishnah. Yitzchak Avinu Okur Haya. Yitzchak Avinu was an Okur. Again, he was barren, naturally. Shenemer to the Pasuk, V'yeta Yitzchak Hashem, L'noichach Ishtoi, Al Ishtaloi Nemer, El L'noichach Ishtoi. Mulamish Shneim Akurim Haya. It says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to the tefillah of Yitzchak when Yitzchak was davening L'noichach Ishtoi. Now, normally we would have thought that it was only Rivka that was barren or sterile, and therefore she was not able to have a child. And Yitzchak Avinu was mispalel that Rivka should supernaturally, al yideina, she should have a child. But it doesn't say al ishtar, it says lenoichach ishtar. Lenoichach means like corresponding or parallel to his wife. So what does that mean, corresponding or parallel? That means that he was mispalel in one corner on behalf of his wife, and she was mispalel on behalf of him, and each one was bowed for themselves and for their spouse. And so therefore both of them were davening at the same time. And it comes to tell you that Shneim Akurim Hayu, that both Yitzchak and Rivka, Derech HaTeva, were not able to have children. If that's the case, for Gemara Yehochi, Vayyosser Loi Hashem Vatar Rivka Ishtoi, it should say Vayyosser Lehemi Boyelei. Obviously then it wasn't just Yitzchak being mispal on his own behalf, that l'noichach ishtoi means that she was also being mispal. So both of them are being mispal, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed them with a child. Why doesn't it say that he blessed both of them? Everyone the fisha inay doima tefillah tzadik ben tzadik, the tefillah tzadik ben rasha, because he, Yitzchak Avinu, had a special zchus. He was tzadik ben tzadik, Yitzchak ben Avram Avinu. She was Rivka, the daughter of Lavan, and even though she was a grosa tzedekis, but nevertheless, it's still, in terms of the tefillos, her tefillos don't rise to the level of that of Yitzchak ben Avram. And yes, people ask the question, isn't there another Gemara that says that b'mokum shebali tshuva oimden ein tzadik and gemur michoel l'amid ba? Isn't she like a bal tshuva, and therefore even a higher madrega? This is a famous question, and then the Mefarshim tried to deal with that. Why shouldn't her tefillah be as great as his tefillah? Perhaps even greater. One thing we see from this, the minhag that people go to tzaddikim, ben tzaddikim, like for instance, Grace of Rebbes, to ask them to be mispal on their behalf, we have a makar from this gemara. Tzaddik ben tzaddik's tefillah has a greater roishim up in Shemayim than a tzaddik ben rasha. There's a famous word of the Kotzke, where the Kotzke asks that question, why don't I say that Rivka's fill is even greater? Moreover, the Kotzke says, if Yitzchak Avinu's tefillah would have been that I want that my son should grow up to be a big tzaddik, and he should be a great Rosh Hashiva, and a great Rebbe, and a great Goyin, and learning Torah, and she would have been mispal, well, I would prefer that my son become the president, become the chairman of the board, become a lawyer, a doctor, an Indian chief. So I can understand why it says that the Yosser Loi Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillah and not to her tefillah. But what did both Yitzhak and Rivka want? They both wanted to have a child that's going to be a great Elechid, a great Tzavik, be Mamshech with Derech Avoyisav, and continue the Tarki Avoyis and learn Torah. So what's the Yasser Law as opposed to the Yasser Law? What was their tefillah's different? Sakotska says a very interesting part. The Pasuk says, V'yisroititzu habonim bekirba v'toymer imkein lom ze anoichi v'teylech lidrish es Hashem. Rashi says in Chumash, what was the lom ze anoichi? She didn't know that she was having twins initially. She only knew that she was having a child, and that child inside was seemingly deranged. In which respect, whenever she would go by a shul, the child would want to come out. Then whenever she wanted to go lahavdil next, whenever she passed by a tumah, the child wanted to come out. And she says, what's going on over here? He's right, so this child inside seems to be going out at all times, both for Kedusha and for tumah. But I don't need a child that's going to be a Michigan. I don't need a child that's going to be a Chas V'Shalom and Apikoyris, go to shul and go to church. I mean, what's going on over here? Until they told her, I have good news for you, that Shnei Banim Bekirvech, Shnei Le'umim Mi'ayach Yiparedu, Le'oim Eloim Yamatz, and then she was relieved. Oh, they're going to be two kids. Very good. After she was told they're going to have two kids, now there was, if you will, a difference of approach or opinion between Yitzchak and Rivka. They both heard, the two kids. One of them is going to want to go to shul, and one of them is going to want to go to the church. That means there's going to be one tzaddik, and there's going to be one Rasha. Yitzchak Avinu wanted that his son, Yaakov, should be mole tzidkus, just like Yitzchak's father, Avram. Avram was the tzaddik ador, Yitzchak was the tzaddik ador. He wanted that Yaakov should also be the tzaddik ador. There's going to be 100% rishis also sent down. That should all be an Esav. Esav, he should take all the rishis, and the tzaddik Yaakov should have the 100% of all the tzidkus. Rivka, on the other hand, lived among Rishoyim. She lived among Lovin and Besua. And so therefore, she said, if I have to have a Russia, I don't want him to be 100% Russia. Let only be a 75% Russia. Let him be an 80% Russia. Let it at least be diluted a little bit with tzidkus. And so therefore, that would mean that Yaakov Avinu would only be an 80% tzaddik and 20% Russia. Okay, but as long as I shouldn't have another love and another besuah, I can't deal with that. I want him to be an 80% Russia, at least have a little tzidkus to dilute the rishus. Says our Gemara, listen to Yitzchak Avinu and not to her. Why? Because ain't a doim a tefillah of the tzaddik about his ben tzaddik to the tefillah of the tzaddik about her ben Russia. Since his focus was on his son, the ben tzaddik, that tefillah was accepted. Her tefillah was on the ben Russia. That was not accepted like the tefillah of Yitzchak Avinu. Anyway, continue on the Gemara. Amri Yitzchak, Mnei Abiseinu Akurim. What's the reason why Tak Avram and Yitzchak? Why were Akurim? Mnei Shekadosh Baruch Hu Misavlis Tvoshon Tzadikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a special tshuka, special lahava, special desire to hear the tefillahs of Tzadikim. The Tzadikim are going to pour out their hearts that they didn't have children. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu made them Akurim Lechatchila that they should go and pour out their hearts in tefillah. Now, what is this lashon? Vayetar Yitzchak LaHashem, vayiaser loy Hashem. What's this? Vayetar Ami Yitzchak Lama Nimshla Tefilosim Shel Tzadikim Keasar. Keasar means like a pitchfork. What's a pitchfork? Those of you have all seen this large pitchfork, which is used to throw up tzfu, and you turn it upside down, and then it goes up. When you are throwing it up, then it winnows, because the draft separates between the actual grain and the chaff. So ma'atar zeh mahapech ha-tfuah mimokah lamokah. Just like this pitchfork does a great job in turning over the tfuah from one place to the other. Kach tfuah and shol tzadikim mahapechas midoy shel kodesh baruch hu midas ragzonos lemidas rachmonos. The tfilas of a tzadik are so intense that they can go and change a kodesh baruch hu's mood, so to speak, kaviyachol, from that of ragzonos of being very angry, to make him full of compassion. When they were born a tumtum. Tumtum means that you were not able to tell their gender because they didn't have an aver and they didn't have a hole. You couldn't tell. Shenemar, how do I know? Because we have two psukim back to back in Yeshaya. Habitu el tsur chutzavtem, the el makevis boer nukartem. So the pasuk chat over here is the hibito look el tsur chutzavtem. Tsur is a rock, chutzavtem, that has been hewn, H-E-W-N, carved out from the quarry, carved out from stone. Go and look, the Almakibas Baruch Nukartam, and look at the bor, the pit which has been dug up. The next pasuk says, Abitu el Avram Avichem vel Sora tochel lelchem. So here it says, look at Avram Avinu and look at Sarah Imenu. What's the connection between the two psukim? The connection is that Avram is the one that we're talking about at the first part of the pasuk, the Tzur Chutzavtem. If you look at the top Rashi, Chutzavtem Nasaloi Zachrus, Kadosh Baruch Hu now carved out an Aver for Avram Avinu. Initially he was a Tumtum, and subsequently he got an Aver. V'Makevis Baruch Hu Tzar Nukartem, says Rashi, Nasal Nakvus, because that's what the word Makevis Bor Nukartem, meaning there was dug out a pit, dug out a hole, and that is Meramez on the Nakvus of Sari Imenu. Back to Gemara, Omer Nachman, Omer Rabavua. Sari Imenu, Islandus Hoysa. Originally when she was born, she was totally sterile, totally barren, like an islandus, says the Pasuk, but he, Sari Akora, Ein lo volot. Now this seems to be duplicative. Once we say that she's an akar, of course she didn't have children. Afil beis vlad ein lo. She didn't even have the machinery. She didn't have the womb and the uterus and all those things that women have in their bodies to be able to reproduce and to have children. Omer v'yirabrei Rav Shmuel bar shilas shmei derav. Lo yishonu el v'doidus v'rishonim. Sheshneiseim merubais. Al v'doidus v'achroinim. Sheshneiseim u'atay shtei shonim u'mechza keneged shloisha iburim. What does Gemara mean to say? What Gemara tells us is that this 10-year limit that we have in our Mishnah, this was in the good old days. Like when Avram Avinu was alive, Avram Avinu lived until the ripe old age of 175, and she, Sarah, to 137. No, if you're going to live 175, 137, maybe 180, maybe not 175, whatever it is, if you're going to live to that type of longevity, so then you get 10 years break to go and see whether the wife is going to have children. But nowadays, people don't live that long. Very, very rare that you hear a person lives all the way to 175, 180, 137. So therefore, you only have a 2.5-year limitation. Those are those who shame shishan same marubais, but those who achrayim shishan same muatais, much shorter. Sheishanim u'mechza, kenegi shloisha iburim. 2.5 years, which correspond to 3 full-term pregnancies. Now, 3 full-term pregnancies, Rashi explains, is each pregnancy is 9 months. 3 times 9 gets you to 27 months. So 27 months, that would be 2 years and 3 months. And we're saying here in the Gemara, 2 years and a half, which is 6 months. So Rashi says you have to add one more month for each pregnancy, because a woman doesn't become pregnant immediately. You have to go and give her a chance that she should have her cycle, and as we've learned in the Gemara before, the Ein Isha Misaberes may be a Rishayna, so even after they get married, then you have to go and wait after that for the period of her period, and then you may Tumah V'Tahara, etc., so that gives you a full extra month, so it's 1 month more for each pregnancy, so it's 3 times 10 instead of 3 times 9, 3 times 10 months is 30 months, 30 months is 24 months plus 6 months, which is 2.5 years. That's according to that man, the Mishmei the Rav. Rabba Omer Rav Nachman Sholish Shonim Kenege Sholish Pekidois. You get 3 full years like the 3 Pekidois. What means 3 Pekidois? The Omer Mar Berei. I'm sorry, Omer Mar Berei Rosh Hashanah. Nifkidu Sora Rochel Vachana. Back in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we learned that on Rosh Hashanah, all these 3 barren women, Sora, Rochel, and Chana, Kadosh Baruch Hu listened to their tefillahs, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah, you're now going to get pregnant, these 3 ladies. So since it says, Pekida by all of these 3, so you get connected those 3, you get 3 years. Omar Rabba, afterwards Rabba heard all of this, and he said, less than the lahani klali. What you just said now about the 2.5 years and the 3 years, that's really not the halacha, because mechti masis and man tokin. Who's the one that was masakin? Who put together the order of the Mishnais? That was Rabbi, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was the codifier of the Mishnais. Rebbe already is many generations the enikel of David HaMelech, many generations later. And by David HaMelech already says in Tehillim, so already at that time, people were no longer living until the 170s and 80s and the 137s. Already at that time, the normal life expectancy was 70 already. And Rebbe is saying that it's a 10-year period. So therefore, the 10 years applies even today, according to Rabbi. Look more about it. By Hashem, lo yizach libanis mihemeno dilma ihid lo yizach. What is this all about? We said back on the Amud Aleph when we had that first braisa right after the Mishnah. Tana Rabban Nosi Ishu Vishoy Ima Es Vishonav Le Yolda Yoitzi V'yitin Ksuba Shema Leizocha Leibonais Mimena. Maybe he wasn't Zeicha to go and have a child from her. In other words, maybe he's the quote unquote the guilty party. That's why he has to go and pay her the normal Ksuba. Frey Timara. But maybe it's the other way around. Maybe she was not zoicha to have children, and if that's the case, she's not deserving of a ksuba, because if you will, it's like a mechatois. And therefore, and it's if I don't know, then, you know, you have a sofik, ain't sofik moitzim nevada, ha moitzim mechaber olavaraya, so why should he have to go and pay? Maybe idol is achim. And for the more, ii kimen deloi mefkida, is what we spoke about earlier on when Rabbi asked his question, and then Mendy had a beautiful meshach chachma, and then Brother Shai gave another beautiful pshat, that ii, she, kimen deloi mefkida, since she doesn't have a chiv to have a periverivya, loi mensha, it's not mistaver that she is the guilty party, that she's the one being punished. If she would have the mitzvah, she would have the chiv, and she's not having children, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying in advance, you're not going to have the apparatus, the machinery to be able to go and be mekayim this mitzvah. But she doesn't have a mitzvah to start off with. So therefore, if one of the two, quote unquote, is being punished by the heavens, by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's more likely that it was him rather than her. I don't understand what we're talking about in general. Now, this Aini is not addressing what we just said. It's going back on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that you're supposed to go and remarry if after 10 years, Chas v'Shalom, the wife is barren, or you're barren, and you don't have children. Why don't you go and remarry? As we'll see on the next line, he had already previously been married, apparently for 10 years or longer. He didn't have children. And they said, what about our Mishnah? That our Mishnah says, Nesivitza, you should go marry again. Boy, the bunny, so you should have children. Fiomulahu and Reb Abba Bar Zavda responded, Izakoi, if I would have been Zoycha, Havali Mikamaisa, I would have had already children from my first wife. The fact that I didn't have children for the first wife, apparently it's nigzar that I'm not going to have children, so I'm not going to bother remarrying. Pretty much, how can you say that? Didn't we say in our Mishnah, if you don't have a child for 10 years, then you remarry? Reb Abba Bar Zavda is not following the dictates of our Mishnah. He was just really pushing them off, and he was not telling them the real reason. The real reason was, like we had 2 days ago in the Gemara, that Rav Huna would on occasion give a very lengthy shiur, and unfortunately as a result some of the Talmidim were not able to go and relieve themselves, and unfortunately some of them became barren. 2 days ago we spoke about Rav Sheshes, and now we're talking about others. I'm always going to bring Rav Sheshes once again. Rav Abba Bar Zavda Iaker mi Pirkei de Rav Huna. Unfortunately, Rav Abba Bar Zavda was Nebuch, one of those unwitting Talmidim, victims of the lengthy shiur Rav Huna that Nebuch, as a result of their not being able to hold themselves back any longer, apparently those tubes, the machinery in the body that holds back the urine, Nebuch burst, and then apparently infected the rest of the body, and therefore he lost his power of reproduction. Similarly, Rav Gidl Iyaka Miperke Rav Huna, Rav Chelba Iyaka Miperke Rav Huna, and Rav Sheshes Iyaka Miperke Rav Huna. All of them never had this problem, and we'll soon see it was even more than that. Rav Acham Bar Yankiv, Achadate Suskinta, Talyu Bi Arza De Beirav, Venofik Minei, Kehutza Yarka. Rav Acham Bar Yankiv was also afflicted by this problem, that he was a Talmud of Rav Huna. And Achadate Suskinta. Suskinta is some sort of, probably from the Lushan Sakana. But Rashi says Suskinta, if you see Rashi, about a few lines higher in the Rashi. Suskinta, Choyli Me'oitzer HaShesen. He developed some sort of sickness as a result of holding back Shesen, the urine. The Odom Nekar Mimenu. This Chas V'Shalom could lead to a person becoming sterile as a result of that Suskinta. So what did he do? Apparently he knew that there is some sort of remedy, and that remedy was Talyua Ba'arza de Beiravi. Asked his Chaverim, go and let me hang hang down from Arza, one of the pillars made out of cedar in the Bismedish of Rav. So they had him hold up over there somehow. And then shortly thereafter, sometime thereafter, the Nafik Minei, as a result, left his body kehutza yarka, a greenish, yellowish type of hutza. Hutza means, in this case, a liquid, some sort of emission, hutza yarka. And as a result, Baruch Hashem, that freed him from this machla, from this suskinta. And after that, Baruch Hashem, he was able to have children. And therefore, Rav Acha Bar Yankov now says about himself and about that whole situation, Rav Acha Bar Yankov, Shitin Sabi Havina, there were 60 of us altogether, Sabi meaning 60 elders, that had that problem of holding back the urine. The kulu iakar nebuch, all of them became akarev. As you know, the word shitin sometimes is an exaggeration, so it may not have been 60, maybe only 59. But the point is that unfortunately many talmidim became nisakru mipirkei Rav Huna, lebar mi'ano, except for me, the kain ben avshoi, I was careful to go and immediately find this medical remedy, that I was mekayim the mitzvah, the pasuk hachochma techayiv b'alei. Using my chokhmah, my wisdom, and my knowledge, I guess, of medical issues, I was able to go and get this refuah that the hutza yarka left the body, this infection or whatever, and then, Baruch Hashem, I became healed, and I was able to have children once again. Okay, the Gemara says, Yes, vayta girsha muteres. So we already medayik in our Mishnah that if he, the husband, gave a get to his wife, she is allowed to remarry someone else, even though, in a sense, she has like a chazaka for 10 years. She didn't have children. No problem. She's allowed to remarry. The new husband doesn't have to be concerned that he will have the same issue, not having any children. Now, it's mashma from the Mishnah. Zokti Gemara, sheni in shlishi loy. If she was allowed to remarry even another time, the Mishnah would have told us that. That not only is she allowed to go and marry after not having children for 10 years, she's allowed to remarry even not having children for 20 years. And marrying yet another individual. So it's Masha Sheni in Shlishi Loi, by the fact that the Mishnah doesn't go the extra mile to tell us that. It sounds like that after two times, if she did not have children, then she has like a chazaka that she won't have children. So to Masisa Mani, who does this Mishnah hold? Like Lechayitz Rabbi. Because this question of whether a chazaka is after two times or after three times, this is a famous old machloikis, which we'll see in our Gemara, comes up in a number of different areas of halacha. The sign is Shaitan Bright. Yes?
You said she'd have the same issue. She'd have no issue.
Ay, 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 ay. Thank you very much, Shelley, for that good correction. Shkoyach. Anyway, so the Gemara tells us that Mani Rebbe, who is the Tan of our Mishnah, it's Rebbe, the sign. Mola Harishan Umeis. Sheni umeis, shlishi loy timal, divrei Rebbe. A mother has, a father and mother together, Baruch Hashem, had a number of boys, but unfortunately, each time they did the bris milah, Nebuch, the first time on the day of the bris, they did a bris, and then Nebuch, subsequently, that child passed away. Presumably, he was a hemophiliac or something else, where the bris was dangerous, and Nebuch, the child passed away. And they did this a second time, and Nebuch, the second child, also Nebuch died. And now they have a third child. Shlishi loy timal, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says, don't allow the third one to have a bris, because we see already that there is a medical issue in this family. We see it already twice. Twice is a chazaka. Don't allow for bismila for the third child. At least not at that time. Maybe when he grows older, maybe he'll be stronger then, but not on the eighth day. Don't do it. No. The third one, you can do a bris. Revi'i loy timal, if this happens chas v'shalom three times, then you have a chazaka. So you see, if a machlok between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, whether two times forms a chazaka or three times forms a chazaka, based on our Mishnah, since the Mishnah says that she's allowed to marry a second time, but the Mishnah doesn't say she's allowed to marry a third time, it sounds like our Mishnah is Rebbe and not like Reb Shimon Gamliel.
His father.
Right. Pray to more about Tanya. I have a b'risa ipcha. There's another b'risa that says punkfaket, just the opposite, and therefore it says that Rebbe holds after three, and Reb Shimon Gamliel holds after two. It says the Gemara, Hayminayu achronisa. Go and find which b'risa, which Mishnah was taught later on. The one that was taught the latest, that's the one you should rely on as to the persons, whether it's Rebbe or Reb Shimon Gamliel is the one that says two or three, because what may have happened is from the first iteration of this machloikis, each one of them maybe have had second thoughts, and the one that said two may have changed to three, and the one that said three may have changed to two. So therefore, look at the final iteration of this machloikis, and then you'll know. Dos is this, that's the final word as to what Rebbe holds and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel holds.
Tosheba di Yom Rebbe Chiba Rabba Yoichana, Masa bi Arba Achoyos Bitzipayrim.
There was a story of four sisters who lived in Tzipori. Tzipori was a town not far from Tveria in the Galil in Eretz Yisrael. Shemala Rishayna, the first one of the sisters, had a baby boy. They did a bris, Umeis, and Nebuch, he passed away. Shnia, the second sister, had a boy, Umeis, Nebuch, the same thing happened. Shlishis, Umeis, the third one. Now, Revius, boss of Neder, B'Shem Gamliel. Now, the fourth sister comes to B'Shem Gamliel, and she asked him, what do I do? Should I go ahead with a bris or not? Amala, Al Tumayli, don't go ahead and do the bris. So what do I see the Chayra from this? The Chayra can be poishit, and in fact, it was B'Shem Gamliel who holds that three is the one that causes the chazaka, and not after two. Freitimara, what's the right? But only I asya shlishis namihava. After all, it says that the first three didn't ask any questions, right, and they did a bris. It was the fourth one that posed the question. Maybe had the third one asked the question to Shem Gamliel, he would have said, "Don't do it. Stop." So therefore, you have no right. Have amala. After all, Rabbi Baraba was no katlakanya, he was no small fry, he was also a heavyweight. He wouldn't have quoted Rabbi Yochanan if he thought that Rabbi Yochanan would have been matter, would have told him, don't do a bris by number three, as opposed to number four. He wouldn't have told the story over. Obviously, he thought that Rabbi Yochanan held that three times you can do a bris, the fourth time you shouldn't do it. So tomorrow the Dil Mahakamashwal and the Achoyas Machaskois, maybe he wasn't coming to tell you the din of the three times and the two times. He really wanted to illustrate another major halacha. Normally when we think of a chazak, it's within the same family unit. That if a husband and wife have three children, four children, the first one or two die, then what do you do about the bris on the third or the fourth? Here we're telling a great sechidish. We're talking about four separate sisters who are obviously married to four separate husbands. Presumably the four separate husbands were from four different families. And Nebuch, the first mother's, the child passed away, and the second mother passed away, the third one. So I might have thought that this is such a strange, unusual situation, this doesn't form a chazaka, because these are different women, different husbands, different people. Nevertheless, that was the chiddush of Chiya Bar Abba, know that Achoy is Machazkai. And therefore it could very well be that Rabbi Yochanan would have paskened after two times had he been asked. He was only asked after three. So you said, and then what's a chiddush? What's Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba coming to tell us? He's coming to tell us the Achoy is Machazkai. He wasn't focusing on the two and the three, he was focusing on the Achoyas. So Vaita, you don't have a raya, because maybe had they asked Rabbi Yochanan after two times, by the third time would have told them, no, don't perform the bris. Based on what we just learned now, that sisters can establish a chazaka, don't, when a person gets married, on the resume they should look at sicknesses. Normally you're not going to find that on the resume, but this is one of those things that you have to ask about. Make sure that the mishpacha that you're marrying into is not nichven. Nichven means where the people unfortunately faint, meaning normally epilepsy, people that have seizures, things of that nature. And don't go and marry into a family where there is nebuch mitzrayim, because we're afraid that chas v'shalom. Now mitzrayim is usually of a spiritual level. Maybe our mitzrayim over here, the Gemara means on a physical level. Or maybe they mean that this is a spiritually unfit family, so therefore stay away from them. But the point is, ask about medical issues before you get married, because you see from the Arba Choyiz Machaskois that there's some sort of family issue over there, that the children passed away in infancy. But it's got to be that there's a chazak of three times. Just because you have one member of the family, which is chas v'shalom anichva, metzayra, that doesn't do the trick. It's got to be that there's a chazaka that there's a problem. Faitimora may have a lot. So the maisa, is it after two times? Is it after three times? Ki yosef yitzchak bar yosef omar. Remember of yitzchak bar yosef, that's going to be important in the next gemara. Ki yosef yitzchak bar yosef omar uvda have kam to Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, I remember there was a story for Rabbi Yochanan. Beknishta de Moin, Knishta is like a base of Knesset, in the shul of Moin, Moin's name of a place. Bein mekumen shechol yos b'Shabbos. It was Shabbos Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Umola rishoyna umeis, shnia umeis, and the parents came and they told that Nebuch, the first child had passed away, and the second child passed away. And now shlishis, now the third bris was scheduled for Yom Kippur shechol yos b'Shabbos. Bo lefonav, and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, vozol mintan, what should he do? Amala l'chi umuli. You can go ahead and make the bris, you don't have to be concerned. So therefore we see that Rabbi Yochanan held that chazakah is only after three times, not after two times. This is what Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Abaye was not impressed, and Omali Abaye, so Abaye said to Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, I want you to know, chazi, watch, be careful, because shoris isura v'sakanta, you're being matir both an isur and a sakana. The sakana being, of course, that if chas v'sholem you're wrong, and really there's a chazak already after two times, then this child chas v'sholem did the sakana. Moreover, if and when the child chas v'sholem should die on Yom Kippur, then you've been over on isur choyvel Shabbos in Yom Kippur. The only reason you're allowed to go and do the chabola, the cutting and the emitting of dam, is because the Torah gives you a mitzvah. But if there is no mitzvah because it's a sakana and you shouldn't be doing it, then the isser comes up again. What are you going and cutting and causing this wound on Shabbos Yom Kippur? So this was the divrei musar, if you will, or divrei teichacha that Abaye gave to Yitzchak bar Yosef. But nevertheless, says the Gemara, even though Abaye, if you will, was critical, he himself followed this psak of Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, samach alai Abaye, for himself personally. In which respect? The ozel nazba l'choyma barata de'isi bereid Rabbi Yitzchak bereid Rabbi Yehuda. He eventually, the Eshidach was proposed to Abaye. The young lady's name was Choyma, a very interesting name. She was the daughter of Isi Bereid Rav Yitzchak Bereid Rav Yehuda. Now this, for her, was already the third Zivuk. Why? The Naspa Rachava de Pumbedisa. Rachava Pumbedisa had previously married her, the Shachet, and unfortunately he passed away. As well as Rav Yitzchak Bereid de Rabba Bar Bechana, the Shachet, he married her, and he passed away. And now Abaye, ignoring the fact that she had two husbands that both passed away, v'nazvahu, and now he married, figuring after two times you don't have a chazak, it's only after three times, v'shachav v'nebach, and by himself also passed away. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, umi ikka di ovid ovde benafshe ki hai. I don't understand the Abaye, why he let himself into this situation. After all, v'iyu di omar ovin de samcha, Yitzchak sumka la bar samcha. Abaye used to go and say that Ovin is a bar samcha, person that we can rely on. Yitzchak sumka is referring to Yitzchak bar Yosef. He is unreliable, la bar samcha, meaning that both Ovin and Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef were talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever you heard Ovin quote Rabbi Yochanan, you can rely on that. When you have Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef saying b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, you cannot rely on that. What's the reason why? So the Gemara gives a reason. Ovin yeshne b'chazara. Ovin was in chazara. Yitzchak sumcha eina b'chazara. Now what does this mean? So Rashi has two pshatim. Pshat number one is Ovin yeshne b'chazara. Ovin would review all of his lessons and all of the teachings that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan numerous times. So therefore he really was ingrained in him. And if Ovin said something, you can rely on it, because he reviewed, he knew exactly what he was saying, it was correct. Yitzchak Sumka apparently was a very, had a good mind, in him, but he didn't review it with the same intensity as Ovin, so from time to time he might have slipped up. That's the first Pshat of Rashi. Second Pshat of Rashi, Yeshne B'Chazara, means that Rabbi Yochanan, from time to time, like anybody, had second thoughts, and he would go and change his mind. Ovin was a constant Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. He would there be at night and he would be there in the day. So in case Rabbi Yochanan had changed his mind, Ovin would be present at the time of the Chazara. The Chazara mean of that regretting and the change of heart, the change of mind. Yitzchak Sumka, however, wasn't as devoted a Talmud. He might have only been by the first Psak and he didn't hear the retraction the second time. Let's look at the Rashi. You'll see Rashi, both Pshatim. Yeshna b'chazora. Rashi is about five lines higher than where we are in the Gemara. Choyzer al Talmudai. Ovin would review his learning again and again. And Rabbi Yitzchak Sumka, that's Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, did not. Loshen Achad is another Pshat. Motzi koshol if they Rabbi Yochanan. That Ovin was present in Rabbi Yochanan's presence all the time. V'im chozabay Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan ever changed his mind. Mishem dovar she'omar t'chela. about something that he had previously ruled one way, now he changed it differently. Shemei Oven, Oven would hear it. V'choizer gam hu bai. He would, you know, jot it down. He would put it in his memory, make a note that Rabbi Yochanan changed. That was Yeshne b'chazar. Rabbi Yitzchak ena motzi lefanav. He wouldn't be there at all times. Upa'am shesham adavim Rabbi Yochanan. The initial time, ulamach chazar b'Rabbi Yochanan. V'oin yodeh. He wasn't there the second time. So therefore, the chazara doesn't mean the review, but rather means a chazara if Rabbi Yochanan ever changed his mind about a particular psak halach. So anyway, since the one that gave the psak over here, in the story that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef said about Uvda Havakamid Rabbi Yochanan Beknishta, then what did he say? That Shlish is bo lafon of Amalo Lachi Umuli. You can go ahead the third time. The chazak is not after two times, it's only after three times. If Ovin would have said this is, you know, like the Rock of Gibraltar. This is something you can hang your hat on. You have nothing to worry about. However, if Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef said it, no, you should, I don't know that one should rely on it. You by yourself said when he was alive that he's unreliable, Rabbi Yitzchak, so I'm surprised that he went ahead.
Ovin not here anymore.
Sorry, Nachman? Oven is not mentioning Mar. He's just giving us the contrast between the unmentioned Oven and the Rabbi Yitzchak Suba, that's Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. The Oit. Eimed de pligi li inyan mila. When he saw me pligi. I know that there's a machloikis legabe mila. After the second time, after the third time. Who says we have the same machloikis that applies the gabi nisun, the gabi marriage? Who says that they're exactly the same? And no, in fact, they have a machloikis the gabi nisun as well. But tiny like we learned in the Braisa, this is the Rishon HaMes, L'Sheni HaMes, L'Shlishi L'Tenasi Divrei Rebbe. If you have a particular lady that married first one man and the person died, then she married a second man and the Bechi died, a third person should not go and marry because she's, quote-unquote, she's dangerous. Well, yeah, Chetlanus, right. Pshem Gamliel, I married L'Shlishi Tenasi, she's allowed to marry the third time, but after the third time, the Revi L'Tenasi. Presumably the fourth one would understand this on his own. But Rabbi Shem Gamliel said it's not a two and three halacha, it's a three and four halacha. The three times is already a chazaka, and then a fourth person should not go and marry him. So, Frank Mark, I don't understand. Mishlema gamin mila ika mishpacha de rafi dama, ika mishpacha de kamet dama. I mean, I can understand for medical reasons, obviously, this family has some sort of blood issue, like they used to say, hemophilia, and therefore I can understand why, once you have established a pattern of one or two children nebuch dying, don't do the bris automatically. Let's wait. You know, maybe when the child will be older, be stronger, the doctors will say you don't have to worry anymore to live, etc. That I can understand. Only soon my time I went to get married. So what happened? On the remark of Rabbi Shi Hachi Amar Avimi Mehegronia Mishmei Drafuna Mayon Goyrim Rabbi Shi Amar Mazel Goyrim. So the Gemara gives two answers: either Mayon or Mazel. Mayon means the physical apparatus that a woman has. Meaning, for instance, the birth canal that she has, maybe that's too tight for the husband, and therefore, when the husband has bia with the wife, there's a physical aspect to it that causes him, chas v'shalom, to get infected or to die. In other words, that there is really a medical issue that causes him to die by the fact that they are intimate with one another. Or Rav Ashi said, nothing to do with medical, it's pushed a mazel zach, that up in Shemayim, they said that these two Nishamas, they are not meant for each other, and that, and they said it three or four times, and maybe this lady is not a bar mazel, maybe other people will be a bar mazel. Anyway, l'chayre, both reasons, unfortunately, are correct. In other words, we see that the husband's passed away, so my benai was menafkimina, ekim benai, the irsa umis. What happens if the initial husbands passed away only after Eris, and it wasn't in Yehuda, so they were not intimate with one another, and they never lived with one another. And nevertheless, the first Oris passed away, and the second Oris passed away. Since obviously it's not a physical mayon, a medical issue, it must be the mazel gerdim. So that would be the one afkamina. Inami denofu midiklumis. What happens if one or more of the husbands passed away from an unnatural accident? They twice they were a car collision, or the Gemara gives an example, he was climbing up the tree and he fell down. So it had nothing to do with a Mayan Garden, it's nothing physical, it must be the Mazel Garden. So if you have another number of husbands that pass away, each one with unnatural causes, or at least one of them unnatural causes, you can go and add that to the list according to Rashi, because it has to do with Mazel, it has nothing to do with the physical intimacy. Amli Rav Yosef bereid the Rav Boy, my name Rav Yosef. I once asked Rav Yosef, Halacha Kerebi, Do we paskin like Rebbe? If you only end, yeah, we paskin like Rebbe. Rebbe said that you have the chazaka after two. Halacha Mishum Gamliel is halacha like Rebbe Gamliel. We only end, after three. So now, Rav Yosef Berei the Rava is saying to Rava, perhaps the son is asking the father, is Rav Yosef achuchi achichmi? Is he just laughing at me, smirking at me? I mean, one time he says we paskin like Rebbe. One time he says Rebbe Mishum Gamliel. You know, can I make up your mind? You know the famous story with the person with the Rub, with the Rebbetzin, no, you know, the Master with the Rebbetzin, no, you don't know the story. The story is told that there was a Rub who acted as a Dayan, and the Reuven and Shimon both had tainus on each other, or the plaintiff, the defendant. So first Reuven goes into the Rub, and he pours out his heart, and he says, Shimon did this and that, and that, and this, and this, and that. And after he finishes, the Rub says, nope, I see you're right. Okay, he leaves the room. And then Shimon comes in and says, no, Shimon, I heard all these things. And Shimon explains his position. I see you're right. And he sends him away. The Rebbetzin, who's in the background, says to the husband, how is it possible? How can both Reuven and Shimon be right? He says, you know what, Rebbetzin, you're also right. So the question over here, getting back to our Gemara, is how can it both be Rebbe and be the Chum at the same time? It's got to be one or the other. Is he mocking me? Amalei says, no, like, Sosmihi, it's in fact Stam Mishnayisin, as we'll see in a moment. Upashat Lecha by Nisun Umalkias Kerebi, and by Vestas and Sharamun Kerbishim Gamliel. There are Stam Mishnayisin, Stam Brises, as we'll see in the Gemara, is going to bring. And therefore, in two times, Rebbe Paskin like Rebbe, and in two times, he Paskin like Kerbishim Gamliel. Where do you have those cases? You have our Stam Mishnah Nisun Hodi Amar, that's the Mishnah on the Amid Aleph. From which we concluded that since it says in the Mishnah that the lady is entitled to go and marry a second husband, but it doesn't say that she can marry a third husband, so you see from that the chazak is after two times and she should talk and not marry the third time. So that's like Rebbe. Malkius, we have similarly after two times. Not Misha Loka Vishana. What happens if a person was over in Aveira and he got Malkius for the Aveira? And instead of learning his lesson, Shana, he did the same Aveira again. And he got Nebuch Malkus a second time. And the Bezin sees that this fellow is a Rasha Marusha that's never going to change his ways. Bezin, of course, and now when he does it the third time, that same Aveira, instead of giving him again Malkus, Bezin Koysen Oysel Kippa, they put him into such a jail, Machilin Oysel Soyrim, and they go and feed him barley, Achetei, Krasen Nefkas, until he has a natural, unnatural death. I mean, they don't go and shoot him, and they don't give him one of the Arba Mises Bezin, but they see there's no purpose in giving Malkus, he's just going to do it three and four and five, etc. So what do I see from this? That two times already is a Chazak. That's a Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin. Now we have another Stam Mishnah by Vestas. Vestas means the normal periods that women have, menstrual cycles. You have something known as a Vest Kavua and a Vest She'ena Kavua. Vest Kavua means that we can rely that she sees month after month after month always on the same day. Vest Kavua means, and Vest She'ena Kavua means that it kind of fluctuates. Sometimes it's on the 31st day, and sometimes the 29th day, and sometimes the 28th day, and sometimes the 35th day. In other words, the cycle is not uniform. So, by Vestas we say that Nan Eina Isha Kavas Lo Vest. When can she establish a set established veskavua? If three times in a row, each time she saw the marshal on the 32nd day, the 32nd day, 32nd day, she has now a veskavua of 32 days. Being with the erizmen of vest, she doesn't lose her status of veskavua until three times in a row she doesn't see, for instance, if she had a veskavua of 32 days. And now she has three times that she doesn't see 32 days. So three times in a row she didn't see it. So that's oike, that originally Ves Kavua that she had. But we see it's after three times. It's not Mishnah. Same thing, Shara Mud, Nan. Ein Shara Nasa Mud Achi Idu Bai Shloisha Pa'amen. You only become a Shara Mud after three times, not after two times. So you see that for certain purposes of halacha, Taka the Chazaka is like Rebbe after two times, and certain thing is like after Rav Shem Galiel with three times, he was not mocking you. It really depends on the circumstances. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Say, we continue tomorrow.